Hello and welcome to this week's Irish Wolves podcast. My name is Tony Lawler, and well, after another disappointing game on Sunday against Leicester, I have Johnny Pearl, Mick McQuillan and Gary Cotter to chat to today about how things went on the day and the match, and again talk about our ongoing managerial problems. I hope you enjoy it.
Tony, can you hear me?
I can indeed, Gary, yeah, not a bother. Hey, Mick.
How you doing?
I thought you were throwing a spin around there, Mick. You all right?
Yeah. I was sitting down here just say a better view, you know.
I'm expecting TC. I didn't hear from TC, but I'm expecting to come along. And Johnny as well. Young Johnny.
Good.
So that's our list of runners and riders for today. Hey, Johnny.
Oh, you're here.
good to hear from you. I don't know, TC is the only other one that's supposed to be joining us, but I suppose we'll kick off anyway. I was going to say, do you want to talk about the travel circumstances on the way over on Sunday, or we just get down to the nitty gritty of the game itself?
You get down to the nitty gritty at this stage. except I had a few words. I was nearly being stopped getting on the flight back in Birmingham.
On the way back?
Yeah.
All right.
And we're held up there for an hour and a half, and I just asked the fella when he was up. I said, "There's been an hour and a half late."
Yeah.
You know, he says, can you not see outside? It's the weather. So, you know, I was a little bit insulted.
Yeah.
I said, you know, the weather wasn't bad.
No.
I thought it was thought it was paper planes were fucking flying in, you know.
Yeah.
But the fact is Aer Lingus was able to take off an hour. But it got a little bit tick.
Yeah.
So I said, I'm not being smart with you. I said, I'm a customer. I just asked you a question, why this has continuously happened.
Yeah.
There was a lot of fellas there. There was loads of... So it got a bit hot.
Yeah.
And then he was threatening me. Kevin came down to me and he says, he's over here on the earphone. He said, you know... But he did. He was... Errol was straight. Like, I said, I'm Irish and I'm not fucking stupid. You know what I mean?
Yeah, good, Mick. Nice one.
You know, to tell you was the weather. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I said, last... But anyway, that was... Oh, Jesus, I was annoyed because it's happening all the time now.
Yeah. But was it full, the flight?
Oh, yeah. Full of filivans.
I know, yeah. The other one, the Aer Lingus one wasn't too bad. But when I look at it, I mean, Aer Lingus was the propeller job last week. And on Sunday, maybe because it's Sunday night, you have people coming back, business, work or whatever, you know. But like it was a 737 and it was practically full, you know, which is unusual for an Aer Lingus one. So, but I mean, geez, you know, that's the last 2 weeks have been great for me anyway. I mean,
yeah.
Being able to get home at 10:15 last weekend and 11:15 on Sunday, you know. So I didn't ask any of you how you got on Sunday night or on Monday yesterday. Noel Doherty texted me yesterday to say it was 1:00 again, you know, so.
Yeah, it was late, David, but it really mattered to me in the end because what happened was, the bus that I had been booked on, the earlier bus, was cancelled. So I would have had to wait for the bus anyway, the bus I got anyway.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Anyways, Roy, the match, Leicester. Johnny, what were your thoughts on the game?
What can you say, really? We're just a mess at the moment. Like, first 10 minutes started relatively well. Bit of pressure, you're thinking, right, we're playing well, Adamo's playing well, switching the ball well, and Tielemans scored, and it's just descended into an absolute shit show. Johnny got, like, it was one of the, I know you can't see like a lot of it on TV, but what I could see, his tracking was just a disgrace. Midfield, Matinho can't run anymore, we just got dominated in there. And it's just a story of like of them taking their chances and us not taking our chances. We've had Adama for 4 years now, and it's the whole plan is still give the ball to Adama and let's hope he creates something.
Yeah.
Like it just Mateus Nunes is getting played in the wrong position. All of a sudden the defense looks looks weak and vulnerable. And I think that's only because of a confidence issue. I don't think Kilman and Collins are bad players.
Yeah.
But Kilman, again, there on Sunday, was just looked nervous in everything he done.
Then
you see the photo of Scott Sellars with the tactics board after, and you're thinking, like, this is a fucking Premier League club, like.
Yeah.
And we're getting run like this. Like, I hate to give out about Steve Davis. I really do, because it's not his fault he's been put into this position.
Yeah.
But it's so clear that he's just completely out of his depth, like.
Yeah.
All Leicester had to do was soak up the pressure and hit us on the break. They exploited our right-back situation, got two goals from that side.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, as fans, like, you're just looking and you're thinking, like, we're just being treated like idiots. Like, our season tickets are one of the highest in the Premier League. And if this rate continues, we'll have scored 10 goals at home in Molineux. Like, it's nothing but a farce at the moment, you know?
Yeah, well, I don't think, if things keep going the way they are, I don't think season tickets will be high on the agenda when it comes to the next season. You know, for people, the way things are going.
I
was looking at people there.
I get that, Tony, but, like, you know as well as I do, like, there's always going to be people that will actually buy the tickets, you know?
Yeah.
Like people that money isn't really an issue for them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
when you mentioned there about the Scott Sellars and the photograph, I think it was saying to you, I wasn't actually convinced with that photograph when I saw it yesterday. I thought it looked a little bit photoshopped or something, you know?
I get that, but just the whole thing about him, the way he's being involved, like, even the chance I heard, they were kind of the only real chance that came through on the television of him saying Sellars out. Like the club isn't happy with him, and he shouldn't be the only one running our football side of things, because it's clear that he just, like, we let Adama go to Barcelona. He said it was the correct decision for the club. Wasn't the correct decision for the club. Clearly wasn't the correct decision for the club.
He said
in a quote that I don't sign players if I don't like them. Like, whose business is it of yours? You're not the manager.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of way.
Yet the Adama one was probably similar to a couple of others where I suppose Cody has been the same this year, where people say, well, okay, loan a player out, but what's the value to the club?
And what is the value? Like,
Adama came back probably disillusioned it should have been Barcelona,
and he's starting for us, Tony. Like, that's the funniest thing now. Like, what was the decision? Like, we were pushing for, I remember he scored against Brentford away last season when we won 2-1. The goal was disallowed for VAR now, but he was hitting form at that time, and they go and fucking loan him out and don't even get any money for him.
Yeah.
Like, this is a Premier League club we're talking about.
Yeah.
You'd swear we were, the way the club run, I have no doubt that Wolves are the worst run club in the Premier League.
It definitely would seem to appear that way. All right, yeah. Mick, what were your thoughts on Leicester and the overall situation on Sunday?
The game, I thought for the first hour we played fairly well without taking our chances. Leicester were clinical. They got two shots in the first half and they were 2-0 up. Now, the first one was a worldie. It was an absolute fantastic. We were playing well with that, except Johnny was having a nightmare.
Well,
I said that a couple of times already this year.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't suit him like that, but he was all over the place. Harvey Barnes had him in his pocket. When you turn around at half time, I think we had 12 shots.
Yeah.
What do you call it? There was five or six of them on target, and they had two shots, and they were 2-0 up. That was fair. But I didn't think overall in the build-up of the play, there was an awful lot in it. But when the third one went in, you see, what happened then, about 5-10 minutes in the second half, they started chanting about, what do you call it, Sellars.
Now,
I knew that was coming, because I had listened to, as I told you on Sunday, I had listened to Soyuz. It was a good of an hour and 10 minutes interview. And I knew that was coming, because he did expose a few things, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the fans are waiting to have it, and they started. It had the opposite effect too. We had a lot of young lads there in the pitch. Yeah, which they didn't.
That's it. I mean,
toxic.
Be honest,
I don't believe in that, Tony. I don't believe in booing the players. Okay, have a go at Scott Sellers.
Well, I was gonna. Yeah. Even, sorry, Mick.
I'll just finish two, and then we'll come back to it. So as the game, Jesus Christ, the was it the third goal? And I'll say with Johnny said that too. Not Collins, but the other lad. He had an absolute horror game. Kilman.
Yeah.
And like it was, he should have won the ball early. Then he didn't. What do you call it? I think Adama made a mess of trying to go for it. It was so bloody something you'd see in the park. Yeah. And your man bailed in the back of the feckin' net. Mm. And you know, there was never any coming back from that. And then the thing which, and I get to what you said, Tony, about Sellers. Now I said when I seen that I was a bit sceptic about what he's saying, because I was trying to say, could I see who the, if you look at the television, was it the our ref that was doing the game? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
These things can happen. But then, the more you think, the more I thought about it yesterday and today, you know what I mean? I said against Chelsea, and I thought last week, that Davies was very, very quick in making the changes he needed to make. Against Chelsea, he was quick to make the midfield change, take off Giddes, put on the young fella.
Yeah.
But this time, for somebody, anybody, fucking Stevie Wonder could have seen at half-time that you had to get Johnny out of there.
Mm-hmm.
But he played on. And then when I see Sellers, and I say to myself, hang on here. And then I'm thinking about me last year, slagging Bruno with his fucking laptop.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, was he getting information from above?
When I was reading bits and pieces as well, making about the photograph yesterday when I went up on a forum and people were saying, oh, he's there with the clipboard and the diagram and the laptop. He didn't have a laptop in front of him. The laptop was beside him. Somebody else had that. To me, it looked like a press box nearly more than where you'd have club people. But anyway, it's from behind. You know, there's all. To me, it was a strange looking photograph. I know there's been a couple of media people that have been making comments the last couple of days. And I mean, could it have been, somebody from the media taking a photograph and, trying to store up? Because, I mean, their business is storing up trouble. But getting back, we don't know. But I mean, it was enough to light a fire to get loads of people talking more shite about anyway. Yeah. But like on the match though, the point you were making there, with the one with Johnny, I've seen it a few times with him where his whole demeanour, like not even when he has the ball, when he's tracking back, he's the head is down, the shoulders are hunched up, and he's making it look like he's making the effort. But I mean, the first goal was all down to him. The ball went over, he fouled, he got the yellow card, the ball came in. You could question the header that was out, but I mean, Tielemans was standing there and just hit it, and that was it. I mean, the second goal, you mentioned earlier about the park. Fuck it, the second goal was a couple of 1-2s, and we were carved open. And I mean, I know it's
Johnny extra. Johnny had lost in the smell in the middle of the park.
Yeah.
He was coming back, and then your man sort of clipped him at the edge of the box, but it was basically 1-2, 1-2s. And they pulled us apart in the back.
Yeah, and the Sellers, the chanting and everything. Look, I mean, like that to me, that's just this. You know, Bruno was the victim a month ago. You know, Sellers is next on the list, and Jeff Shea and Fosse and out. It's just, I just thought there was no sense to the chanting, and I mean, the atmosphere was very flat.
Well, no, but Tony, have you seen that video? That interview with
Shoeys. I watched about 15, 20 minutes of it. I just haven't got an hour and a half to be sitting watching it.
I just had the time and I went through it. And basically, he was saying Sellers dealing with he never. What he said was he didn't. He never met when he was during his contract. He never met, as he called the president. That would be Jeff Shea. But he likes to deal with people who are honest.
Yeah.
And not two-faced.
He did say that about Lambert and that, yeah.
He said this also a bit later on with Seller. And then when he was offered, he said it was an insult at the finish, after being led around the place. So that led me to believe that, that's why they had a go at Sellers. At that, because he is the football director. Well, he's doing the football director's job. I'll be honest with you, I never raised him.
Yeah,
He done a bit of management stuff years ago. But look, it may explain a lot of the stuff that's happened. But
yeah,
it's Jeff Shea has to take the big blame, because I said when they got with it noon at that stage, it was all about money.
Yeah.
It was all about money. And you can see they're trying to do everything on a shoestring. And there's no way, as I said, they're going to pay 7, 8, or 9 million for a release clause on a manager. There's no way they're going to do that.
Yeah.
So we can put all the names up there we like. But you see, Phil, I know whether they got the right man or not, because it is a lottery, in my opinion, looking for the manager. You know what I mean? I get the right for fire. But they went in, threw in the 8 million, and got their man straight out of Villarreal.
Yeah.
You know,
but actually, we'll see how that works. Well, it worked well for them the weekend without anybody in charge. So, you know, that those sort of things never seem to happen for us. You know, but we'll get back onto the manager's job in a minute. Gary,
that might be more to do with the donkey. That was first game of Villa.
It was pure coincidence, I'd say. Gary, well, what were your thoughts? Do you see? You saw the game anyway? Say yeah.
I did. Yeah, I saw the game. Yeah. I would have said. Like I wouldn't be as negative as Johnny was there now. But now that I mentioned Johnny, the other one, I'm in full agreement with Johnny Burl and Mick and yourself. He was particularly bad. You know, a simple pass from Collins for the first one took his eye off the ball. Harvey Barnes picked his pocket and then he fouled him, yellow card. And you know, you can't say anything about the finish, but up to that point, like, we very much dominated the game. And in fairness, so the overall stats were like 61, weren't they? 61, 39, I think. The second one, I agree, he was probably too late for that stage, but he was a coming together, so you couldn't call it a foul. But Johnny was tripped at the edge of the box. But it meant Harvey Barnes had a total free run at it. Like, you know, and like you say, it was two handy goals after dominating the match. Yeah. I mean, that does knock, you know, it does knock the stuffing out of it. The amount of shots and the overall effort was, I thought, good. And that, I wouldn't go along with saying it was a disgrace. You know, I think, it is a disgrace to lose 4-0 at home to anybody, right? Particularly Leicester, who are in and around the bottom with you. But I don't think the way we conducted ourselves throughout the game, other than, say, Johnny in particular was poor on the day, was a disgrace. I thought we kept the ball a lot. As I say, we had good possession. We did make shots. We did make chances, but we're simply not converting them. The third goal was very disappointing from the point of view of Maddison made both Collins and Kilman look particularly average, you know. He turned him inside out and left Sarr kind of standing as well. And the fourth one was probably a bit inevitable once Vardy was on.
It was well over with then, yeah.
That was Kilman gave that ball away. Remember, it's a terrible pass.
Yeah. I think, Gary, as you're saying, like, and I think we're all kind of saying, like, there wasn't, apart from goals again, there wasn't a lot wrong with us in a lot of the game. But I mean, I think in the last couple of games, from what we've seen, is Kilman seems to have kind of he moved across to the right when Totti came in against Chelsea. He was back on we could have making allowances for that. He's back on the left hand side again, and he's made a few mistakes. He played a ball out early on in the game on Sunday, straight to one of the Leicester players in just inside our half, changed the whole momentum of an attack into defending. As you say, second half for the goals, you know, a couple of times he just didn't seem that confident. Collins, fairly off. You know, decent game, I think. But you say, Johnny, if you have two of your back four that are, you know, aren't on their game, Jesus, you're going to be under pressure straight away. Moutinho's not given the cover that I assume himself and Neves are there for in front of the back four, with three in front and then Costa up on it. We haven't been mentioned Costa, so I think that probably sums up his contribution on Sunday.
Yeah, well, I think the mistake made on Sunday was in the team selection. He definitely should have had Bivarek, Tamar.
I haven't known there.
Because in the previous game, like, he was getting to Chelsea, he was getting to the balls.
Yeah.
He was attacking. Now, when you put Moutinho in there with Neves and that, we didn't have that. I thought that was a glaring mistake. Not starting with that lad. Yeah. And what we need to do, I get back even to Totti, we need to get fellas in there who can win balls in the air and can win tackles. Yeah. And we're lacking that.
What worried me really about with the Traore to be, as they call him, Boubacar, like, I mean, he was taken off against Palace on Tuesday night because he was on the yellow. He was taken off with half an hour to go or whatever, you know. So, I mean, he was ideal. There was no fitness issue. There was, like, he was perfect condition to start on Sunday from the start and give an hour. If it was 1-1, 0-0, 1-0, you know, it was still, the game would have been there for anyone coming on. Like, but I mean, you know, I mean, even Semedo, like Johnny didn't leave the field until, what was it, 20 minutes to go? There was a case there for them. They did it with Guedes at Chelsea. Like, there was a case there to take Johnny off at half time before half time and bring on Semedo.
That's what I was saying, Tony. I don't know. He was so quick in making the change at Chelsea. I can't understand this, why he didn't see that, unless he was acting what he was being told to do. That's the only thing I could see that, because everybody could see Johnny wasn't at the races afterwards.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah,
you know, when you look at the game overall, as Gary says, you look at the game overall, we had 21 shots.
Yeah.
Leicester had 5, got 4 goals. And in fairness to Leicester, like, they are a bad sort. Leicester are the third top scorers in the second Premier League.
Yeah, I don't know what their defence is like, or their goals could seem like, but they haven't been.
Well, we're probably just as bad as worse.
Tony, well, just on the...
Everything was all right up to a month ago.
Tony, just on the midfield, like...
Yeah.
I don't even think it's a case of Boubacar Traore. I don't understand why Mateus Nunes is playing in a calm role when he's the best dribbler we have in the team. Like, when he picked up the ball, remember, against Chelsea and just blitzed through the middle. Like, that's literally his game. Even when we went down to 10 men against City, like, we had the two in midfield there, and that was one of the best midfield performances I've seen us from.
Yeah.
I just think with a three, like, we're just kind of allowing Moutinho to be a passenger in a tree, and he just has no effect on the game whatsoever.
Johnny, can I ask you, where do you think Nunes is playing, and where do you think he should be playing?
I think he's playing in an offensive role, like a number 10 role, when he should be playing number 6, picking the ball up. Like, his best attribute is resistance of a press, and that's the reason he was bought, because we had no one in the middle of the field that could dribble past players. Like, you can't really expect him to get the ball when his back is turned to goal on the penalty box, because he'll have defenders in front of him and then midfielders behind him. Whereas when you give him the ball, like they did against Chelsea, he beats 2 or 3 and opens the pitch up. He's much more athletic than Moutinho. So why are we playing him in a position?
The system they had at the weekend. The system they started played was, they were playing what they call it, Neves and Moutinho, just in front of the back four. That's what they were up to. And then they had the other three lads in front of that behind who was going up front. And I'll go back and I'll say it again. We've got to go back to three at the back to start closing up. And then they have a problem what he's trying to do Nunes in there. And let the break do what they've done, come up midfield, put the big lad up front and walk off him. Because we've got to stop goals going in, because we're leaking them now big time.
Yeah, which is a change from early on in the season. But now with Johnny's point there about Nunes, we actually noticed in the first half, towards the end of the first half, he got a ball and he ran straight through the middle of them. And I don't know whether it's a confidence thing or what, but he got to about 25 yards from goal and he slowed down, and a Leicester player took the ball off him and ran, and he almost looked around to say, what happened there? You know, he's great dribbling with the ball, but I just thought on Sunday, in that particular incident, he seemed to kind of, he didn't know what to do when he got 25 yards out, which seems to be a common team among star players.
That thing you're talking about there, what you were saying there, did he slow down to look for options? Maybe there's no
whatever it was, but the ball was, he was pickpocketed, ball was just robbed off him, and he didn't even know the ball was gone nearly.
Yeah, but it might have been looking to see where players. Yeah. I don't remember the incident, Tony, but I'm just asking that. But yeah, why were we so good when Traore was in that he was fucking winning things in the back, and when he was defensively walking well there for us in front of the back. That's why Nunes thing was able to push forward with confidence. You know what I mean? And he was winning balls. And but look, to me, we have a number of players that do, but we've got to start putting a bit of more strength in there.
Yeah.
We've got to get the likes of the Cotty, and we've got to get, what do you call it, Traore, into that team.
Yeah, I think our formation nearly has been based on us getting a goal, you know, and going a goal or two up, and, you know, a kind of attacking formation, and then we'll kind of soak up everything else. But it just hasn't worked that way in any game this season. So
clearly Davis has his, you know, he definitely seems like a 4-2-3-1, right? He definitely favours a Traore. He likes Moutinho and Neves in front of the back four.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what manager you have, he'll have his own ideas, like, won't he? I mean,
Gary, I agree with you saying there, but he did say there last week, and I can understand, he's trying to find the best position for Nunes, and he's thinking about pushing the ball forward. That's, he said that, so he is open to he has no, you know, what I've seen him in the first game, the second game, and I'm looked at what Dan and Saturday and Sunday, I said, there's something not right there. Like, he didn't know what to, he began to look like fucking, what do you call it, Bruno. He didn't seem to know what to do. But then again, listen, hold on. I'm saying maybe the odds are coming from up higher. That's all I'm saying. I've no proof of that.
Maybe he's looked for it, you know. Maybe he's looked for help from above, and unfortunately, you know, whoever's above is above. There's nobody else new coming in. But I will say one thing for him. He's found Guedes' his best position anyway, on evidence so far. Anyway, I was going to talk about the managerial situation, of which there really isn't one at the moment. But I suppose we've 3 games left before the World Cup, and there's nothing going to be happening before then. Johnny... Gary. No, you go ahead, Gary. Go on.
What I was going to say was I thought kind of what's happened to Villa has highlighted how bad we've dealt with the situation.
Mm.
Like, you know, I think, you know, saying, giving word out that there's no one out there. And if you do your business right, there was someone out there. They just got it wrong from the start. I think it was a late decision that, you know, they made their mind to let Bruno go without having plan B in place, you know. And
I
don't care who it was, if it was to be Lopetegui,
yeah,
like what my biggest concern about that at the minute is, right, is the minute something happens, Lopetegui's name comes up, and you know, he passes us by again, and he's going to become, you know, the best manager we never had. And he's going to be like a legend, you know.
Yeah.
A fella that's done fuck all for us, and yet we always turn to him.
He's had a huge effect, you know, on the club. We never be managed. He's left us in the crap twice now.
I don't think he had a big effect on the club. I go back to what he said when they let Nuno go. It's all about doing it on the cheap. Now, Villa went off, what do you call it, they let your man go, but they knew, the lad they got, Newcastle tried to get him, and he wouldn't go off to Newcastle, Emery. But they went off, and they handed over the money.
Yeah.
They were 10 million, straight away, and took him in. And I said, our lads are not going to do that. They're looking for someone that they'll get, that would be a very, very small release clause.
But Mick, I'll put it to you, Mick. I mean, now and there, look, we'd probably get fucking Dick Emery, you know. But like, Mick, the talk was Lopetegui was there. He was going. Sevilla were getting rid of him. He was going to come to us. Bruno was sacked. There was a pre-contract. I asked the question, and it was put to me that there was a pre-contract agreement with Lopetegui to take over. That he'd been working behind the scenes with Wolves on players coming in and probably players going out as well, and then she flies over the week after Bruno sacked, and we find out, sorry lads, for personal and professional reasons, I'm not taking the job. And that left us high and dry with, you know, what was supposed to be the big job, getting rid of Bruno, you know, or the easy part, has turned out to be a disaster because we're here. Then we're talking about, Mick, last week we were talking about your man from EastEnders with QPR that was going to join, and then he decides, nah, I'm not going to bother either. So we end up, like, it's just the whole credibility of Wolves management from top down has been torn to shreds in the last few weeks. And the media, we just get a word from Johnny on the situation. He hasn't got that in yet.
We're a laughing stock. Like, it was all well and good saying we'll sack Bruno and we'll get better. I don't know if we have gotten better, to be perfectly honest. I don't think Bruno would have allowed what happened on Sunday to happen.
We're in the fucking mess because of Bruno. He's gone, but that's why we're in the mess. He left the mess. I said it last April, so then why haven't we got better? Why haven't we got better? Why haven't you got better? Because I was looking at a match on Saturday. I was looking at Everton, okay? And I watched the player that people say he's a broken defender. And I watched him. He's one of the stars of the show for Everton. What do you call it? Connor Cody. That's one of the reasons. The other thing then, I was listening to Saeed. Another fantastic player he had. And he's a bit too old, people were saying. He got rid of those two. That's why we're in the fucking mess we're in.
Nuno left the club in a fairly bad mess when he went, you know?
He didn't leave it in a mess. We couldn't have been any fucking better, hold on a sec, Mick, you were quoting numbers and figures for Bruno and for guys.
Number of games. How many games, in Nuno's last 14 games with Wolves, how many wins did we have? I'll tell you, Mick, three wins.
But the question I'll say to you is, how many players had we now, fucking big players out injured? We had no centre forward. He was off. We had no Neto. We had no...
Mick, we were in touching distance with top four last year and we had no centre forward.
Bruno didn't have a striker. Bruno was 12 months in charge here. And he knew we had problems in the attack. And he spent the whole pre-season working on defence.
Yeah, because we were falling into a back four to get another player.
Look, that's bollocks, Johnny. Listen, you can move your players around. Look, I seen it in games last year. What he was trying to do. The man hadn't a fucking clue.
I seen what he's done against Leeds.
I seen him at home against, at home against Brighton. I got the fucking all the games. So I told you, I spent many a year managing and coaching. We're in the mess here because we left that filly in it too long. At the same time, the management has to come into it. Hold on, Mick.
That's just your opinion, Mick. Yeah. And as far as I'm concerned, Mick, it's no better than my opinion. It's no better than Tony.
And it's no better than Johnny's opinion.
No, Mick. Shouting down people that have a different opinion to you doesn't work, Mick.
Just repeating something doesn't mean that it's right, you know. I asked Johnny for a couple of words
and you didn't even let him get quarter of the way through. Never mind, let Johnny say something and we only have a couple of minutes left anyway, so let Johnny say what he's going to say.
I just think if Bruno was the devil and the worst manager in the world that you say he is, I thought we would have got a bit more of an improvement in performances if he left, and we haven't. We were a penalty miss against Drawn to Forest. We got battered at Chelsea, and we got battered by Leicester, and we got beaten by Palace. So we clearly haven't improved all that much now that the devil is gone. I don't understand how you see him as such an awful...
Well, I'll answer there very quickly, yeah. Okay? Bruno was in charge for a year and a half almost, okay?
Yeah, his first year.
And the second part, we had one win out of 16 games. This lad has come in, and as I said, whoever come in had a mess to clear up, and we have a huge mess there.
You said Nuno would have left us in a better position.
I'm talking about Bruno now. Nuno had left us in a great position. He's a fantastic team there. Yes, we had a problem, but during that season, he went and played a lot of young, get them game time. Now, I said it last April, May, I just can't deny it. I said it on the Zoom. If we didn't get rid of him then, that this, what's happening now would happen. And it's happened.
Listen, so what do you want us to do? What do you want us to do, Mick? What do you want us to give you? A prize?
No.
You want us to give you a prize, Mick?
No, what I'm saying is...
Will you stop repeating it?
The reason is, Gary, I'm the team, because no one was fucking listening when the problems were happening. And I said at the time, I tell you, the only player...
Hold on a sec, Mick. In fairness, you're willing to give the lad that's in there now a chance. From day one, Mick, with Bruno, you said he's useless, he's no good. He's not got from day one, Mick. You never gave the lad a chance at all. When we were up in the top four or five last season, you never said a word. April, when things started going wrong in April, you were all gone. Get rid of him. I mean, that's not how it works.
February, March, April is when I stopped this. There was a problem. But first of all, I didn't get on his back at the beginning. The only thing I said, I was. It was the away game, a home game against Brentford. And I question what he was doing.
Mick, we're out of time, right? We'll have to go. Okay. All right. We'll talk to you after the weekend, right? We better beat Brentford, okay?
Oh, Jesus.
Let's hope so.
Good luck.
Let's hope so.
I'll see you. Lads. Good luck.
Well, I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week, and you can follow us on irishwolves.org on our website or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.